Ardo Lies van Gombeen en Doigen. We hebben ook een beetje underground hip-hop van House to Mountain. Samenwerking tussen Max Allison van House to Mountain langs de ene kant. Deze keer onder de naam Mux. En langs de andere kant Sharkula. Dat is een veteraan uit de Chicago scene. Dit is hun tweede samenwerking. Het album Take Caution on the Beach klinkt behoorlijk desoriënterend. Komt begin april uit op House to Mountain. Chew It, Swallow It van Sharkula en Mux.
Hello boys and girls. Hello boys and girls. You better get the sanitizer. It's the COVID-19 Rona. Yo, and this is Sharkula. Yo, check it out, here we go. I was grinding while you were masturbating. My mind is spinning like a golden hubcap on Rolls Royce. When ladies see Sharkula, they get moist. Cause they know that I'm top choice. I'm priceless. That means everything to a Care Bear. Playing rugby with the mayor. Yeah, I'm a player. Rock and roll like a Slayer. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, coming through with a lot of red carpet. Coming through, we wanna park the car right over there in the garage at the cabin lodge. Yo, you gotta know, we gotta do it, it's priceless. That means we can't be bought. Chocolate's worth beyond millions. What's a PCK? All fake artists biting on the freeway and doing what they doing. If you're choosy, don't be juicy. Your booty juices, diarrhea's a Uzi. Go to Catholic churches, chicken. A quiet riot, chew it, swallow it. Yep, you're full of shit. I've been selling music, trying to do it. Yo, peep it out. Pop the bottles, blaze it up. Yo, he got a sharp laser on. I don't know what to say, but do you do? Peek-a-boo. Luminoic. Playboy magazine. We're doing hip-hop things while you're at work. Chilling in the pond like a cooling pad frog. I have a major move to make, and I'm not on the toilet. Good lady friends in a new relationship. That's well, I just make records in Excel. Bonafide, I write exclusive. Rhyme in the hotel, no abusive. I never hit a woman, I love myself too much. Do you wear Sassoon and Jordan Ash? Country filter, coming through. We're hitting the Hilton. No, we're not on stilts, kids. I study in the mud. What's up? Soap suds, botanical baths. Eat organic on the planet. Shake your head like Janet Jackson in State Street. You're probably eating 3,000 calories. Kiss your girl Mallory. We just won't quit. Kiss my Chris. My name's not Alice. Alice. Alice, my name's not Alice. If you understand, we're at the palace. Go to the places you know you wanna see what you wanna gotta be. See a movie alone. Don't masturbate in a movie like Pee Wee Herman. Drink a beer in German. I doodle slush, a big crush on a chick. She loves to take a big trip out of state, out of country. I jog in Germany, MCs in Austria, no time. Indiana, don't be blind. Delaware, smoke some kind bud. Africa, smoking in Jamaica. Illinois, in Chicago. We're not bull crap. We like to get on our roller skates and rap. Outer space, garlic clam chowder. Vegan pizza, puff. You need the iron, so you better iron your clothes. Surprise, I sell my trail mix in your booty. A lot of masturbation.
Chew It, Swallow It van Sharkula en Max van op Decaution on the Beach gaat dus in april uitkomen op Houtsu Mountain. En over dat label gesproken, die gaan ook een fantastisch samenwerkingsalbum uitbrengen in mei. Het gaat Arc Mountain heten. Muzikanten van Death Bomark en ook van Houtsu Mountain tezamen. Zo heb je bijvoorbeeld een samenwerking tussen White Boy Scream en Firetools. Heel benieuwd hoe dat zou klinken. Of ook Senior Benedict Moore en Dustin Wong. Hebben we ook Denzel Curry samen met Kenny Beats, opvolger van hun vorige EP Unlocked 1. Deze keer heet het Unlocked 1.5. Klinkt iets slikker dan die vorige. We draaien Diet 1.5 van Denzel Curry.
It's the remix, nigga. Oh, yeah. You ready? All these racks in the ceiling got rappers back in their feelings. Treat the game like Trump voters did the Capitol building. And a 600 Maybach, the only passenger in it. Ain't got no cash for the dealer, if don't no stashes come in it. Denzel hit me, and I couldn't get back fast enough, nigga. Talent to track talent, I'm just not rapping with niggas. The way I'm crafting this shit, get way too tactical, nigga. All my albums is classical, just to challenge you niggas. My shit been in crazy demand, but play again, I be plugging with 80 grand and have it 80 a gram. I feel fast as Tyreek Hill chasing these bands. Who else, Glacier Day hand to be wearing babe shit from France. I'm in the light-skinned bitches in blue De Niro. Bricks in a blue Camaro, I feel like a superhero. Every year they discuss me, who else they gon' name but me? And Gunweed, the ones who they call when they get rusty. Griselda,
get money from a show, then deposit it. Yo, shows got no holes, I acknowledge it. So braggadocious, spit sick shit, it's atrocious. Rising like the stocks, not broken. The Shogun came through with no gun. One man, Ichiban, fresh out of Japan. Do as like a man, and what I demand is some fucking peace and quiet. I told him, please go to church and please get on the diet.
Shootbox came with the doo-wop. 1 billion and two cops can't find Tupac. Two shots, that's two grazed in 2 days.
What goes up must come down on Tuesday.
And I don't like Pixar, Miss Star. I am the master. I came through like a bastard. Nobody followed my style. People say I would fall off, but I've been here for a while. So nope. Are you ready for the motherfucking giant, the tyrant, the titan, the ogre, the lycan, the vampire, taking over empires? The game was the tooth. I'm a fucking pair of pliers. We gon' do them Vinny style. As you can see, this nigga got many styles. No too many niggas that got semi rounds. And cold like
ice.
Put thorns to your crowns. You go out like Christ, my nigga.
Get money from a show, then deposit it. Yo, shows got no holes, I acknowledge it.
So braggadocious, spit sick shit, it's atrocious. Rising like the stocks,
stock broken.
The Shogun came through with no gun. One man, Ichiban, fresh out of Japan. Do as I command, and what I demand is some fucking peace and quiet. I told him, please go to church and please get on the diet.
Diet 1.5 van Denzel Curry van op Unlocked 1.5. We gaan ook nog eens even stevig blazen met All Caps van Zuli. Dit is Tainy.
What the fuck?
Danny van Zuli van op All Caps. Het tweede album van Lorraine James gaat in juni uitkomen op Hyperdub. Ja, veel toeren zat er na de release van haar vorige album For You and I niet in, dus is eigenlijk vooral muziek beginnen te maken. Van op Reflection is dit Simple Stuff van Lorraine James. Simple Stuff van Lorraine James van op Reflection. We zullen dus nog eventjes moeten wachten tot in juni meer bepaald wanneer het album gaat uitkomen op Hyperdub. Remix hebben we dan van een Ghanese track van A Lost Man. Dat is een kwartet, een Ghanese kwartet. Centraal in hun sound staat de Kologo, een soort van tweesnarige luid. Nu is dat nummer in een drum en bass outfit gehezen door Roxymore. Dit is A Lost Man met Bayiti in de Roxymore remix. Thank you. Bayiti van A Lost Man in de Roxymore remix. Als laatste hebben we nog een heruitgave van het album Conspiracy van Jean Lee, een Afro-Amerikaanse kunstenares die in 2000 helaas overleden is. Haar album Conspiracy klinkt heel naturalistisch, heel jazzy. Dat is ook het laatste wat we jullie nog gaan voorschotelen. Volgende week zijn we er terug. Dit is nog Yeah, Come To Be van Jean Lee.
Come to be, come. Come to be, come. Come to be, 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 come. Come to be, come. Come to be, 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 come. Come to be, come. Come to be, 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 come. Come to be, 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 come. Come to be, come. Come to be, 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 come. Come, come to be, come to be, come to be, come to be, come, come to be, come to be, come to be, come.
Yeah. not you again. Oh no, not you again. Are you feeling wobbly? Are you feeling wobbly? Are you feeling wobbly? Oh no, not you again. Are you feeling wobbly? Are you feeling wobbly? Oh no, not you again. Are you feeling wobbly? No, not you again. Not you again.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless.
All circuits are busy now. Please try your call again later.
0093001.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bump, Billy Bump!
A very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, hey.
Out in Signal Land, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
We have Gila.
Good evening.
And we have Alex.
You do. Good morning.
Okay, so that tells me right away that you're somewhere else again. Where are you this time?
It could be. I'm actually in a city I've never been to before, other than yesterday and today. I'm in Manchester, England at the moment.
Oh, Manchester. So, that's a wonderful place. That's where the series Shameless was inspired. All kinds of fun things happen. Manchester United, Manchester City, of course, Liverpool, nice friendly town, just a stone's throw away.
Yeah, this is a great city. I've never really spent much time in the north of England. I've lived in England and go back and forth and teach at King's College in London, and I've never really been up to the north, but there's a contracted party summit here with ICANN, the Internet Corporation, for assigned names and numbers yesterday and today, and actually on Monday as well. And so I've been here a couple of days, and I'm really liking it. People are extremely nice. There's a lot of nerdy stuff that people would be interested in and here in Manchester. I mean, Alan Turing was here, and there's a wonderful Alan Turing monument and memorial in a park right around the corner from my hotel. Very, very cool place. People are really nice, friendly. It seems like the farther north you go in England, the friendlier people become.
You need to watch League of Gentlemen. But before you do that, let me remind you that coming up this Friday is one hell of a 2600 meeting in Manchester. It's one of the best ones. So I suggest you stick around and attend that.
Well, I'll be back. I'll still be in the UK, but I'm leaving Manchester tomorrow, heading back to London. Otherwise, I would have definitely stuck around for that.
There's a meeting in London as well. You can't get away from the meetings, Alex. They're everywhere. So, this Friday coming up, May 1st, about 5 p.m., look it up. 26.com/meetings.
Yeah, what are these meetings all about? Can you tell me about them?
Well, I assume that you're just asking for the benefit of listeners, that you actually know
damn well what
they're about, because you've been to many of them.
That's right.
It's basically just they're public gatherings in the middle of a public space, such as a food court or a mall in England, even in pubs, that kids are allowed in. So that's the important thing. We don't cut off access by age. And it's basically a place where people can trade information about technology, hacking, kind of like, you know, what the radio show does, except in person. And it's a good opportunity to get away from the computer screen and just kind of, hang out and look at your phone screen. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. Hang out, talk to people. It's very informal, and it happens on the first Friday of every month for the most part, all around the world. And you can get more information, 2600.com/meetings. You can start your own. It's been going on since 1987, if you can believe that.
You know, I can believe it. And I have met some really interesting characters at the 2600 meetings over the years. And in fact, I think, Emmanuel, you and I met for the first time at a 2600 meeting many, many years ago in the 90s.
That's quite possible. It would have been the one at what was known as Citicorp back then.
That's right. Near the lobby of payphones.
The same location where it takes place in New York City to this day. And Rob, what's it called now? What's that food court called in what's known as the City Group building now?
Yes, in the City Group building now, that whole first floor area is called The Hugh, as in the name Hugh, H-U-G-H. And that's what they named their food court, which is actually a decent place. They remodeled it recently, and we started having meetings there again. And it is just, it's a great place to hang out, have a meeting, chat with people. We'll be there this Friday evening. More info on our particular meeting here in New York, you could go to nyc2600.net. And it's got all the info on there. Or you could always go to 2600.com/meetings, find one near you. If you don't have one near you, there's the info there to start one near you. Anyone can, any place that needs one can have one. All the details are there.
I was a bit upset last time. Kyle and I went to the April meeting, and it turned out it was Good Friday. I didn't know everybody took Good Friday so seriously at that particular food court, but they did. Most places were closed. You know, people still showed up. We had a great meeting, talked to a lot of people, but I don't know. Is May Day a holiday in the mall world?
I think May Day should be all right. It's a celebration. It's a celebratory sort of day. So check it out. I mean, in the old days of the original City Corp Center sort of food court area, there really wasn't much to be had in the way of food. For the most part,
well, people
since,
didn't eat nearly.
I started going in the 90s.
People didn't eat nearly the same amount back then.
Yeah,
it's a lot more.
Yeah, no, they
frugal.
Didn't. But the options are a lot nicer now, and it's worth checking out.
Do you know why it's called the Hugh?
Why is it called the Hugh?
Thank you for asking. The Hugh is named after the architect of the building, a man named Hugh Stubbins.
Why? I did not know this.
Why didn't they just call it the Stubbins? Why did they call it the Hugh? Usually, things are named after your last name, not your first name.
Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry is named Stubbins.
All right. I guess that's as good a reason as any. So, Alex, now, where have you decided yet where you will be settling in the UK? Have you picked a city, or are you going for more of an agrarian type of a thing?
I would love to go for an agrarian type of thing in the UK. I mean, it's quite beautiful once you get out of the cities and pastoral and rolling hills and cows and all kinds of wonderful things here in this strange little island of the United Kingdom here. I think I'm partial to London, though. I mean, I love London. I used to live in London.
I should warn you, it's expensive. It's expensive there.
Yes.
But, you know, I think you'll be happy there. I really do.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not resettling or anything like that. I mean, I'm just hoping they let me back in the country.
Wait, what? Did I misunderstand you? You haven't left the country to settle in the UK?
No, I have not left the country to settle in the UK. Yeah, I'm not leaving America. I'm not giving up.
Who the hell told me? Why did you tell me that? I swear, our research department. Okay, but Alex.
Wait, don't pin this on the research department. No.
Well, it's not my job. Look, Alex, we have to address this. I thought you were safe. I thought you went to the United Kingdom, you know, in search of democracy and, you know, but you intend to come back here to this country?
I'm going to come back. I feel safer when there's a written constitution as opposed to an unwritten constitution. I like to see the words that, you know, on the page.
Poor summer child. Look, there is no written constitution anymore. It's all been destroyed. The whole thing is in shambles. Have you not been keeping up with what's going on in the news lately? To tell you that coming back to this country is a bad idea, unless, you know, you have a plan of some sort.
Obviously, Alex is Alex's plan, obviously, is he's over there while they sent the king over here. So the place is just, like, unruled right now, and Alex has marched in to fill the gap, I think, and take over.
Oh, King Shming, it doesn't make a difference. The king has no power. He can't stop this.
But he was pretty impressive, though, I have to say, in terms of his defense of constitutional democracy and whatnot, wasn't he?
Yeah, too bad he's not running the country. It would be nice, yeah. You know, to have somebody who recognized the importance of that. Look, yesterday they indicted the former head of the FBI because he took a picture of some seashells that Trump didn't like. That's literally what happened. That is literally what happened. And it's not even the first time they've tried to do this. They're going to keep going after the guy. Look, as hackers, we have had a history with law enforcement. You know, we've had a history of, you know, butting heads with people who are trying to put us in jail. All right. It's a given. And you're going to have an adversarial relationship. So it's weird for me to be defending the former head of the FBI, but it's more familiar for me to see how justice can be corrupted on an agency level. But in this particular case, though, we're not just talking about a couple of inept Secret Service agents, you know, that are taking people's rotary phones when they raid their houses because they think there might be evidence in there. No, this is system-wide, where basically the Justice Department, this is something I'd like you to speak to, Alex, the Justice Department is speaking in Trump's voice, meaning they send out tweets or whatever service they're using these days, with, you know, all caps and just this emotion and glorifying of the leader and all that kind of thing, and saying the exact same thing. We have to have a ballroom. That's so important for our security, which is utter nonsense. But within a couple of days of the events of Saturday, to have all of this just in motion, you know, doesn't that scare the crap out of you?
Absolutely. It really does. It absolutely does. And the Department of Justice is supposed to be an independent agency that has its client as the United States of America, not necessarily the President of the United States, but the United States of America is the client of the Department of Justice. And they're supposed to seek justice and work towards justice, not necessarily working towards some kind of political end. And I think what we see here is the co-opting of the Department of Justice and using the same talking points as the President of the United States is it's a scary thing here. It indicates a lack of independence and indicates a lack of purpose and an objective that is everything political and nothing independent. And that's a very scary time, I think, for the United States, because it means that the justice system has been weaponized for political purposes.
It's been corrupted. You know, if this were a Linux installation, we would be wiping the hard drive and starting over again because something clearly went wrong. And we have the system now where basically it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. If you piss off Trump, you're going to be the victim. That is not how a democracy or a remotely democratic system is supposed to work. Yet that's how it is now. And I'm concerned that too many of us are just, you know, accepting it, saying, well, that's the way things are. I know that a lot of big tech is accepting it, in fact, even embracing it. And that's disgusting. And we can't ever forget that. I'm at a loss. I don't have the solution. But I think we damn well better band together. And dare I say it, 86, all of this. Yeah, that's a phrase. Kyle?
I would just say that you might be mistaking a lot of people's disrespect for that as acceptance. And I think after you've experienced and seen so many of these kinds of things, or at least have a lot of better to compare it to, that when something deserves your disrespect, you definitely the cumulative effect is really made accepting things laughable. Like, I'm so beyond that personally, and I think a lot of other people are. Like, it's not that I accept that it's wrong. It's that I don't really like respect the kind of authority they're trying to wield mm-hmm. at all. I mean, it doesn't deserve the respect or acceptance that you're talking about.
Right. Well, until attorneys and police chiefs and people, you know, who have some power stand up to this and say, no, we're not recognizing this as legitimate. It doesn't really matter what we think because we have no power. It's been made clear to us over and over again.
But it's not acceptance is what I'm saying. It's hard to distinguish.
It's a kind of acceptance. If you accept your fate, doesn't mean you agree with your fate. You're accepting, oh, you know, this is awful, but there's nothing I can do about it. And I know I'm saying kind of the same thing right now. I just think, you know, especially with May Day coming up, things need to grind to a halt a little bit so that we can address the situation. Alex.
Well, look, if I chime in there, I think we have an obligation, we have a duty to call this type of activity out. And as you probably saw, Emmanuel, you know, and I talked about last week on our radio show about the habeas cases that I've been filing and the crazy position that the United States has been taking in those, the inconsistent positions that the United States has been taking with respect to what the law is and how it should shape certain cases and how it affects certain cases. And I published an article about this, calling it out specifically on Slate.com and on, what was it? I guess it was yesterday. Yeah, it was Tuesday. All the days are bleeding into one long day here. But yeah, it was Tuesday, and it was the front page of Slate.com was this article about the tactics of the Department of Justice in basically taking contrary positions on what the law is, the exact type of stuff that we discussed here last week. And I have to say, I was really pleasantly surprised to see them promote this article and put it on the front page for so long. And you can still find it up there on Slate.com. But I think it's important to call this out and to call it like we see it, like we're doing right here on WBAI. It takes a certain amount of courage, I think, to maintain that type of position.
Absolutely. And, you know, anyone can write articles, you know, letters to the editor, can phone in to TV shows, radio shows, whoever is taking phone calls, and express your opinion. And that's definitely a great step. It's not the solution. It's a step towards a solution. And we need more people to be taking that kind of an interest.
That's a really, really good point. And there's something I think that is understated in it. And that's that you can have a right to speech, but you must exercise it as well. I mean, especially when it's warranted or whenever you feel like. But just to have and, you know, possess it in law and historically doesn't necessarily equate to the power you can have in exercising it.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I sound angry, but I am angry because, you know, I value freedom and democracy and being able to speak your mind. And I see all of that under threat. And I'm not sure what the bigger threat is, if it's our complacency or the downright evil nature of the people currently running things. It's difficult. Look, we have James Comey, the former head of the FBI, who took a picture on a beach of seashells that spelled out 8647. Now, okay, let me start by saying that he had every right to go to that beach.